Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritual Fucking Successor. My name is Blake Rea.
My name is AJ Hart, and you're convinced on that. You want to go ahead and lock and load with that, like adding the middle word to that name of the podcast?
It's been a while, and I did want to update the audience that I did legally change my name, the lovely name my mother and father gave
what?
Me.
No, Alexander, the middle. No, I mean the name of the podcast, Dingleberry. The podcast can't have the same name as you, right?
Wait, oh, are you asking me what the name of this podcast is?
You said the name of the podcast is Spiritual Fucking Successor, and yeah. I'm not comfortable with that branch change.
Yeah, I mean, okay, that's fine. That's okay. We can do a little addendum. That's just like a
well,
joke
unless,
for you, me,
hear
and
me
the
out.
Audience submit. Okay, go ahead.
What if all three of our names are fucking?
Okay, so Blake fucking Rea, AJ fucking Hart, and Spiritual Fucking Successor.
Yes, excellent.
God damn. You know what? Hey,
that's
YouTube,
so
I know
good.
We're
hey,
back.
Can I
but...
take it? Hey, you know what? Take the yeah. opening. Take the opening from the start. We're opening right. the show again.
You're right. What? No, I think that was super funny.
No, I want to go through the whole intro with like the feel of what our middle names would feel like if we did the fucking.
Okay. You're right. We have been gone for a year or less than a year. Jesus Christ.
No, it was actually a little more than a year, I think.
Fuck, really? Oh, no.
Yeah, we were gone
Life's
for a
been
year.
Crazy.
I think that the people are going to be excited to hear the theme song twice. So I'm just going to go ahead and start it right now again. Here it comes. Boo, boo, boo.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Spiritual Successor. Welcome fucking back to Spiritual Fucking Successor. I am Blake fucking Rea,
and
I'm joined by
aged.
My... Oh?
You tripped I all over it. You stumbled it. Take it to... I'm playing the theme song again.
No. They know who we are, guys.
Blake, we've been gone for a year. We have to get one solid intro in. Take it from the top.
No, I think it's hilarious that we
it
come
can't
back
be like
it,
this.
We fuck up, and that's just our return to form is just a classic Spiritual Successor fuck up.
A classic joke alley-oop and fumble.
Guys, it is so good to be back. It is so lovely to be back in the recording room with my best friend, AJ Hart. He and I are still in separate cities, but with the power of the internet, we are just as close as ever and are making Spiritual Successor again, the fucking podcast. Holy shit.
It's been so long to get here, man. What, yes. Like a whole year. Do you know how much happened in 2023?
A fucking lot, both to you, but in our personal lives, in the world, in the video game world, like so much shit has gone down. AJ, but what have you been up to? I'm sure that everybody listening at home is kind of wondering what life has been like for you and I over the past year and where we are now from when they last heard us. So how are you?
At this point, I'm doing well. 2023 was filled with such incredible highs and such incredible lows. Mm. I moved... like three times last year, and not yeah. all of them were for great reasons. Mm-hmm. But now I currently live with a loving partner, and that's pretty Aww. Sick for me. Yeah. Made a big jump in that relationship.
Wait a second, were you and your partner not dating when the last time they checked in with us?
No, we were dating. I was yeah. dating them by then. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because I think like right before we had to take a break, it was right when your leg got busted, right? Yeah.
No. My leg had been busted for a couple of months then because my leg had just finished healing, kind of, because I had just been hired for the job in the city. And when we stopped the podcast, that was because I was having to make 2-hour-long commutes to and from yeah. work from where I lived in San Francisco to where I was working. Because I didn't live, like, in the city, but my job was in the city. And I lived outside of the city with no car. So the reason why the show had to go on hiatus in the first place was because I was losing 4 hours a day to commute, and that was not very conducive to creating art.
Or just good mental health or positivity in general, and all the important things.
But Jesus. I don't have that job anymore, nor do I have the job that came after that, nor do I have the job that came after that.
All of this to say, hopefully you at home can see why it took us a while to get shit pretty level again. Yeah.
Blake, where have you been at for the last year? What have major changes have happened for you?
I've experienced a lot over this past year. I also moved. I moved out of my previous house. I think everybody knows I was living with my two parents for like through college and shit like that. But like the beginning of last year, it was like we were like, okay, it's time. You know, I want more space, so I moved to a lovely little place in Encino. I'm still in Los Angeles. I'm still at that job with a microphone company. I've experienced like a lot of like personal, like just fucking heavy shit this year. And I think I'm grateful I had the time and space to just really focus on those things. I'm going to mention one of them. I apologize, everybody. I know we're really happy to be back, but I want you guys to know about it because he kind of became our mascot, and I know a lot of people in the audience really loved listening to him in the background. Bentley, the cockatoo that me and my family had, he sadly passed away. So in a weird way, one of the things that happened after he passed is I actually got to go back and listen to some previous Spiritual Successor episodes, and there he is, still squawking Aww. A fucking way. And that's just like, it just got me thinking of like, oh man, I have this little time capsule of like, you know, our other family member, our little flying family member. So I'm very grateful as, you know, for this podcast for yet another reason is like a cool little time capsule. But other than that, I am living really happy. I have been working on Love, Death, and Dice, my Warhammer channel. It's been fucking taking off like crazy. It's given me so many cool opportunities to just create and, you know, make shit. But damn, do I miss making stuff with AJ. So this is like really special to me to be back here making cool stuff again, making Spiritual Successor. So expect really cool things and really cool cool stories going forward, everyone.
I'm really excited. That's crazy. So what were you going back to listen to like old episodes for? Or was it just like recordings from our Undertale playthrough?
It was a little bit of everything. It was like every now and again, I like to listen back on like, I think as important as an artist and as like, as somebody who with like, you know, anxiety and other insecurities about what you create, it's good to go back and like, it is so eye-opening to go back and listen to things or watch previous creations you've made out, like when you don't even, the more distance you can put between you and when you created it, the more you'll look at that thing with fresh eyes and actually understand its quality and like what you like about it. So like, for example, I would listen on previous Spiritual Successor episodes, you and I would record and I'd be like, oh man, I didn't really do too well. Or that wasn't really that funny of an episode. I was like, not really adding a lot. I go back and listen to it. I'm like, oh, actually, you know what? I'm very proud of what I did. I feel like we made really cool things together. And that was kind of important too, especially because you and I haven't made an episode in a while. And I'm like, fuck, I missed that. I definitely went and visited all of the old highlights of yours and I's. Like my personal favorite is the episode where you, I forget the name of the episode. I think it might've been Dick Smasher Alex, where it opens on you and I talking about the body pillow you were gifted and how you just tried getting rid of it for the longest time and then just decided to put a hoodie on it. That moment lives rent free in my head. It's just, it's such a wonderful, like, little moment between you and I have just like captured forever. It's just very, that very funny, really very wild to me.
I don't think I went back and listened to any of the show over the last year, but I did find myself going back and looking at old comments pretty regularly. Yeah. No joke. Yeah. I have like a folder in my computer of like reviews and screenshots of comments that I like really touched me. Oh,
that's lovely.
Yeah, Aww. And it's something that I try to go back to pretty regularly just to kind of get that reminder of like, oh, right, it's all of you out there listening to this show that kind of kept me being like, oh, I need to get back to that. Like, yeah, all of y'all seem to enjoy this stuff. Blake and I have a riot and a half making it, but like that folder is a living little gem for me.
Wow. Yeah, I remember.
So that just goes to say, like, hey, folks, if you're out there listening and you have a show out there, this isn't even me plugging it for me. If you have a show out there that you really enjoy, please leave some sort of review or send a message to those creators that you enjoy doing it, or that you enjoy them doing it. It really does and really can make their day.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there have definitely been kind of leading up to the release of this episode, when we made the announcement made the announcements on all of our various socials that we were coming back, the just flood of just kind words from people, and also like classic suck fans just being like, oh, finally, Jesus, just giving us, just razzing us a little bit. That was heartwarming. That was really special.
It's crazy to think that like this show before we went on hiatus went for like 4 or 5 years uninterrupted. Yeah. That's crazy. Hey, dude, I'm pretty sure that we ran Spiritual Successor longer than the Confederacy lasted uninterrupted.
Well, I don't know.
Where's our statues?
Who's putting our spirit? God, putting Spiritual Successor as a flag on the back of a pickup truck? Fuck, that sounds so good, actually.
A big truck with way too much fuel emissions and way not enough horsepower with two flags of us and then a big bumper sticker that just says, you suckin'?
See, what I hate about that is, you know how there are those big, there's been a bunch of those articles lately about how trucks and cars just need to get smaller in general. I feel like the image of you and I driving the Suckmobile would become like the poster thing of like why cars need to become smaller. It'll just be you and I, just modern day, just fucking idiots. All right. Well, actually, before we jump into like reading some man, that feels
we're not
good to
do,
say,
we're not ready
say.
For the show yet. Yeah. I don't want to jump into that. That feels like, you ever like go to a really good restaurant and like you order your appetizer and then you get your appetizer right in front of you and you get like in you go to Red Robin, you order some onion rings and your burgie, and they bring over your tower of onion rings and they're like, here it is, enjoy this. And then before you can turn around and finish your first onion ring, they bring over your burgers. And you're like, I'm not ready. We're not ready yet.
That's coward talk. Here's my I'm going to go off on a little Red Robin tangent because goddamn do I miss it.
Wait, don't lose my metaphor though. Folks listening I want you to understand that feeling of feeling like you have too much good stuff too immediately. That's how I feel about if we were to jump into the submissions immediately. Now you may go on your Red Robin.
Okay. No, my order of operations is at Red Robin is I get my bottomless fries as fast as possible, and even when they drop off my burger, I'm asking for the next piece of fries. So how does that apply to Spiritual Successor? Well, AJ, it just means I love going off on tangents throughout the meal. So that's another thing I miss. I'm excited to do that. Just like the random shit you and I talk about on the pod, but never talk about in real life for whatever reason.
There's so much of this show that is just us talking about whatever interests us. And it's so fun to have this energy back in my life.
Speaking of
talk about the last year and things that interested us.
What video games did you play?
No, what you did first.
I play? Oh, okay. I have to go first. I got really hardcore into a little game called Graveyard Keeper. It's become my like little cozy game, and I forget who described it to me this way, but it just really stuck in my memory. It's Stardew Valley for alt kids, where it's literally Stardew Valley, but you manage like a graveyard, and it's written with like a Russian style humor where everything's very like just very, I don't want to say cynical, but like very to the point, and it's very dry, and I love that about it. I got into that. What else did I? God, what other video games have I played? I know I've played a bunch of new ones. I finally beat Red Dead Redemption 2. God damn,
that
game is
beautiful. Was that?
It was so good, dude. It was definitely. It was a game I tried playing a while back, and then Doom Eternal came out. And I was just like, all right, I'm done playing Red Dead. I'm gonna
You had better things to do than be a sad cowboy.
Yes. So it's been years since I touched it. So I was like, all right, let me just start the game over. And I ended up beating it over the course of like a month or whatever. And it just was so fucking moving and so good of just like on it was such a great balance of like technical skill and actual like really good story writing. Like I loved the motion capture of the whole thing. I would love to pick the brain of whoever did like the facial motion capture, because it's to this day still some of the best. And that game came out like what, 7 years ago, six, 7 years ago now, and it's still better than shit I'm looking at. I'm trying to think of like what other games did I play. I did that. I'm funnily enough replaying Doom Eternal.
It's always a good game to play.
Yeah, it just feels good to come back and get that challenge, you know? Like, oh, also another game I've been fucking tearing ass through because I love it. I love it so much. Two games. One, Warhammer 40,000 Bolt Gun, which is like a Doom clone. Fucking amazing. Warhammer 40,000 Darktide. I've finally got a way to segue my friends into playing Warhammer with me, and that's been it. And then also,
it worked really well. I saw that our homie Discord was blowing up with it, and I almost bought a copy. So well, you almost had me that time even.
And that leads me to the final game that I really leaned hard into this year was Guilty Gear Strive. I finally, oh my God, this is actually major news for Spiritual Successor, because like throughout the pod, I have always been like, I'm not a fighting games person. I'm not a fighting games person.
It's true.
I found a fighting game that I like. It's really good.
Guilty Gear Strive is excellent. I think that definitely having like friends that are all into it currently has been a huge help. Blake and I have both been playing this game a lot lately. We've got a friend that has blorbified that cast member. And for those of you that maybe haven't picked up what blorbifying means yet, it's, you know, that part where you get a cast of characters and they tickle your brain and you just don't stop thinking about them. This is blorbification. And so we have friends that have blorbified a lot of the cast members in Guilty Gear, you know, looking at fan art, looking at shipping charts, et cetera, et cetera. And has gotten all of the homies into it. It's been a blast. My partner's actually working on a cosplay for one of the characters, so me and my partner both got into it even. It's been super cool to like get back to a fighting game. I don't know if you – because, yeah, you never played a bunch of them growing up or anything. But I remember in college I played Tekken Tag Tournament 2. I played so much goddamn Tekken Tag Tournament 2 in college. But like I never got back into a Tekken game or a fighting game in general. I think part of it was that I didn't have that, like, in person, I'm fighting against somebody else energy.
There's also, like you said, there's something to it when the rest of your gang is watching it. Like, I don't think I can stroll up to, like, an arcade bar and, like, queue up a fighting game with just some random some random guy. But I love hearing about why my friends are super into the characters that they play, and they just breaking down like their fighting style and how it compares to other people and like also their lore. Like I remember when you and I started getting into Guilty Gear, or like I think when you drove down to visit me, you told me about like how you watched like a 2 hour long like story and that breakdown of the Guilty Gear series or something like that.
Hey, yeah. Those games are so long. There's so much world in the Guilty Gear universe.
Surprising.
I don't know if you've played around in the menus, Blake, but if you go into one of the menus in Guilty Gear Strive, there's functionally a shipping chart of all of the characters and how they're related to each other throughout all of the games. It is buck wild.
A shipping chart? Do you mean
a shipping chart? Like okay. it'll show a map of every character on like a dartboard, like a crazy murder board. It's a murder board of all of their friendships.
I guess what I'm confused about is like I am used to the term shipping meaning they are romantique.
So it tells you who's married and who's not married to each other, too.
Oh, okay. All right. But then, I don't know. I've never heard the shipping be used for, like, friendly interactions. Where they're, like, just they're platonic, I guess.
That's fair. We don't look at enough shipping charts together as friends, do we?
No, you know. Where do you think you and I would be on the shipping chart? Because I actually have a shipping chart I can reference that shows how close you and I are.
What shipping chart do you have?
It's a little thing called cosine. Remember when you and I became friends on Cosine?
Okay, look, Cosine isn't a shipping chart. A shipping chart like has like the whole like again the murder board vibe to it. The lines.
What's the difference? It tells you like the percent, like down to the percentage of how compatible people are.
It needs to be on a giant board because you're not looking for like actual compatibility. You're looking for like how many connections to who, what are they, etc., etc. I'm gonna show you this. Guilty Gear chart like tomorrow or something. It's incredible.
No, text it to me. Text it to me. I want to look at this tonight when I'm eating my dinner. When I'm eating soup, I'll look at this. I'll look at the breakdown of all this. All right, dude. It is like we're like 23 minutes.
I didn't get to talk about what I played this year.
Oh yeah.
You think I just sat around and played Guilty Gear the last year straight?
I wouldn't put it past you.
I went through 3 unemployment arcs this year in 2023.
Dude, you got to tell people
so
about
many
your
video games.
You
got to
tell people about your jacket arc. That's my favorite. It's my favorite unemployed
Holy
AJ
shit,
arc.
Did that happen during 2023?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh my
did.
God. Yeah. Important thing. So during one of my many unemployment arcs, I was unemployed and I was full of anxiety, but I discovered that Destiny was releasing a new raid. Destiny was releasing its raid for, what was that one called? Root of Nightmares. The Root of Nightmares DLC was dropping. Mm-hmm. And I decided that I was going to be a man that was going to turn unemployment and anxiety into a week one raid completion Destiny raid jacket.
Uh-huh.
And so I took all of my unemployed time to sit down and dedicate and grind and hustle to get my gear ready, my loadout prepped. And I knew that I had time. I had plenty of time. And so for the first time, because I was grinding it out there and I was getting my catalysts for my guns, when I did do the raid, I managed to be in the top half of our DPS checks, which had never happened to me before, even after 10 years of this game. Like, I'm good at the mechanics, but like the DPS was never my thing, because a lot of like DPS checks come down to, have you grinded the catalyst for whatever special gun is good for the DPS? And like, credit to Destiny, like, it's never just like the most recent thing I feel that like is the most heavy damaging thing. It's always like something you would have forgotten about. So I had to dig back through like years worth of stuff and hope that my shit dropped properly.
You
but
had
I
to
did.
Do actual meta game to get to that point.
I had to look into armor builds. Yeah. I had to look into like swapping my gear in the middle of it. I was like actually playing an RPG. It was kind of kick-ass to play Destiny in a state last year where it didn't feel like you were having to play catch-up season to season. And I got to just focus on like, oh, this is an RPG that I have played for 10 years and have a lot of half work done on projects. And I was then able to like actually build out. And that was kind of super satisfying because, again, 10 years of this game and I never got to interact with Destiny like that.
Do you think, question, do you think that was only possible because of the free time you had? Or was it like...
It was only possible because between seasons, they did not increase the light level cap. This is also why we were able to get you to start like
it was
looking
a perfect
at
storm.
Your gear.
Yeah.
Because like you showed up and all of your gear was blue. And we
I
were like, Blake Rhea, you cannot be fucking around with blue gear right now.
No.
That's something that we got to actually do. We got to think about the builds in Destiny because, again, so much of this game is just about catch-up. And it was cool. It was nice to be able to think about that game mechanically. I don't think I'm going to be playing it next year. I think this was the swan song for the game, but we can do more Destiny talk another day.
Mm-hmm. But needless to say, you did get the sweet fucking jacket out of that.
I got the raid jacket.
It's a pretty good unemployment arc.
The Root of Nightmares raid jacket is so bitchin'. It's like a nice black jacket with a bunch of orange accents, which is excellent for me because I've been trying to wear more orange in my outfits in general.
Real spiritual successor head right here.
Yeah, it fed into my whole color vibe very nicely. A whole year, which means that with a whole year, Blake Rhea, I was able to get through one JRPG.
What JRPG did you play?
I played through the entirety of Digimon Cyber Sleuth.
That's right. Okay. I mean, technically, you did get through two JRPGs, because actually, no, that's not a JRPG. That's a visual novel. What the hell am I thinking? Because you and your partner played Catherine.
We did play Catherine. That game. I also finished the Danganronpa trilogy. I think that
that's
me
right.
finishing all three of those games happened. Like, I think I did one and two last, like, before, but last year I finished three.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah. Damn, dude.
I got
weird.
A lot of gaming done last year, actually. It's yeah. crazy how being unemployed will help you with that.
I feel kind of ashamed. I didn't do as much gaming. Actually, wait, no. I wish I prepped a whole list. I played Dredge. That fucking game rules if you haven't played it.
The fishing one.
Yes, it's a horror fishing game, and it owned bones. It was so good. It was just the perfect length. The mechanics of it were super fun. I'm thinking of doing a second playthrough of it. Actually, you know what? That would be super fun for the channel. You and I captaining a couple of boats. God, that would be super lovely. All right, is there anything else? Anything else? Because I know I want people to. They came back here to see some game design. They want to hear about it.
They did come back for game design. They will have plenty of time to hang out with us and hear about our silly adventures over the last year.
Yeah.
We should do at least like a little bit of game design for our first time back, right?
How funny would it be if we didn't, though?
What if we didn't? What if this was just a catch-up episode? Hold on. You said it would be. Wouldn't it be funny? You're right. It would be incredibly funny. So let me talk more about Digimon Cyber Sleuth.
Okay, go ahead.
This is a game that I feel like is at constant odds with itself in a way that I find so phenomenal because it is such a good monster builder. So for those that maybe have never played a Digimon game, or at least the RPG ones and not the Monster Razor ones, because they're different. There's kind of like two design philosophies when it comes to Digimon. There's the Digimon World games where you get little guys that you just kind of have to make sure you don't let them poop everywhere. You have to feed them. It's kind of the idea because Digimon was originally a Tamagotchi clone. Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't a Tamagotchi clone. It was Tamagotchi's four boys. And so the video games for that kind of leaned into that idea. Care for your monster. Take care of it. It will do all the fighting on its own. You just have to make sure it is taken well care of and it will grow into cool, dope things like a dragon with a gun for a cock. And then there's the RPGs, which feel a lot more like Pokemon clones. Cyber Sleuth is one of those. It is the RPG Pokemon clone. So you get a party of little monsters, you get three on the field at one time, and you just go through and you play an RPG. And this is where the game gets weird, because you can always go back and raise the monsters. Like, you raise the monster in the background, it levels up, it gets abilities, and then if it's like a level 2 monster, we'll say a Greymon, you can bring it back to being an Agumon at any time and make it a smaller lizard. But you could bring it back from Greymon. Like, let's say it was a little fire lizard, then it turned into a big fire lizard. You could bring it back down into a little ice lizard. Meaning
isn't
that you
that
can.
Isn't that how Digimon has always worked?
I think it is, but like this is a fundamentally different thing than Pokemon. Like if I'm comparing it as a monster tamer to Pokemon, because in Pokemon, you have Pikachu, it turns to Raichu, you're never getting it back to Pikachu. But when you do small fire lizard into big fire lizard and then back down, you can change what it comes back down into, meaning that you could choose like bring it back down to an ice lizard, level it up there, it will unlock an ice attack move, and then bring it back up and to a different maybe a lightning dragon, or bring it back to the fire dragon it was originally. And the fact that you're kind of like always able to swap out what it's evolving into or evolving back into means that you get a wide breadth of elemental moves for the monsters attacks, which is really cool. This means that you're constantly able to like pad out the move set for your monsters, like the elemental move sets. That way, if you go into a fight and a monster's weak to lightning, you can say, don't worry, my fire monster has lightning attacks because I de-digivolved it and then re-digivolved it as a lightning thing to get it with a lightning attack.
Okay, so it's
you see
like
what I'm kind of saying?
Every Digimon is like a multi-tool thing of like you can take it through its steps and it can handle various situations rather than, hey, my Raichu only has X, Y, and Z moves. I'm fucked if I don't prep before the battle and like sub out those moves.
Because like in Pokemon, it would be really cool if you had a Raichu with a water attack, because Raichu doesn't typically have water attack moves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so
now here's the part where Digimon gets at odds with itself.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter that you have other elemental attacks, because the weapon or the like type advantage is based off of a triangle and not like the 18 different elemental types that are coded in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So in Pokemon, there's like the elemental wheel that's like all super complex, right? And it's like, I have a fighting type. So strong against bird, weak against steel, blah, 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 blah. And you know every single one of those interactions is there. In the Digimon game, on top of the elemental moves, more importantly, every Digimon is one of three types. And one of those three types, or those one of three types creates like a weapon triangle. And that is how double damage is mathed out. Meaning you could do all the raising you want to make sure your guy has the most types of elemental moves. It does not matter, because at the end of the day, your monster is a virus type. And it doesn't matter how well you raise it. It will always still be weak to vaccine and always deal stronger damage to data. The elements don't really matter.
So what is the point?
Yeah, bud. Thank you. Huh. I'm so glad you got that. So the other thing that I have as an issue with it is that it's a JRPG with a silent protagonist and a story that is pretty interesting. Well, there's this girl named Nokia. The girl's named Nokia, and she has a cool interaction with her Digimon. She has like this little trio comedy routine where whenever she's on screen, she's talking with her little monsters and they're cracking jokes and having a good time. And it's like, hell yeah, that's right. Digital monsters can talk, and they are characters on their own, and we should be able to talk with them all the time. The main character in the Digimon Cyber Sleuth is a silent protagonist, and you never get to talk with your monsters. So again, it's at odds with itself.
Oh, it's like, hey, look at this cool relationship that this group's building. Yeah, and then you just...
Isn't it so cool that you can talk and hang out with your digital monsters and be friends?
No, just
anyway,
imagine.
You're never talking to your little guys.
Okay. Oy, oy, oy. All right. AJ, I love you.
Also,
I care for you.
Even
I
if you're spending the time to do all of the like monster raising and think about type advantages and like in a more complex way, in every boss fight, you have to fight against an enemy that is removed from the weapons triangle. So it doesn't matter how you've built out your team at the actual checkpoints of any of the like narrative plot points. Because like it doesn't matter if you've sorted out that you have a good balance of data and virus and elements, because the bad guys that you face are removed from the triangle. So why did you bother trying to balance your team?
Because you wanted to have thematics. I don't fucking know. I don't know.
It's a fine game. JRPGs
sound
are
like
wild.
It. You've done a 10-minute tirade on the technicalities of why it is sucky and at odds with itself.
I just feel bad. It's hard for me to say full volume that I didn't like it, because I spent like 80 hours in that goddamn game and I like Digimon.
Yeah, and you could... what's a game I've spent? I spent a lot of time in Destiny. I don't necessarily like the gameplay. I like
what?
It because
the
I'm with my homies.
Okay, fair enough. You know what? And in a lot of ways, Digimon was me hanging out with my homies. I couldn't talk to them, but Gallantmon was right there.
Speaking of Digimon, I do want the audience... I do want the audience to know AJ's still in the thick of his Digimon phase, because he did invest in two other Digimon related things this year.
I have.
Yeah.
So, dear listeners, I have been on a bit of a Digimon kick because I got sick of Magic the Gathering. It's so hard to follow Magic the Gathering. And as a lot of y'all know, I like card games. I like hanging out with card games. I like using it as a social tool. I like going to like events and like pre-releases and playing Magic the Gathering with people. But that card game is so goddamn expensive and also just like nauseating to keep up with. And so I started looking into some other card games that were really popular. And the one, like, I could have jumped to Yu-Gi-Oh, but I've heard that Yu-Gi-Oh is just a nightmare. And also, I'll be honest, visuals don't really stand out to me.
You're missing out. Yu-Gi-Oh is a fucking gem.
Number two, I could have done the Pokemon game, but again, the market in that game is so fucked because of collectors. And so I wanted to find a game that, like, I could pick up and play, and singles would cost, like, I don't know, $10 a pop, if. And Bandai said, "What great news, buddy. We have 2 to 3 to 5 new card games you should check out." And they said, "Check out the One Piece card game." And I love One Piece. That One Piece card game didn't have anything going for it for me. The Digimon card game, though, I found out about the resource management system in that card game, and my brain went crazy. And so I had to pick it up and start trying it out. The Digimon card game is so good, dude.
It looks really fucking good. I very much, next time I come up to visit you in SF, I really want to play it with you. I also, really quickly, before you dive into go into Digimon, I do want to share a very funny story that happened. So this was like maybe 2 times ago that I came up and visited you. AJ was mentioning to me like his desire to find other games other than, you know, Magic the Gathering or stuff like that. So we were like, oh, fuck it. Why don't we just go hit up a bunch of comic book stores and a bunch of like card game stores in the area around the city that AJ lives in. And we find perhaps the worst fucking card shop
I have ever been to in my life.
It was disgusting. So we show... So, okay, before I describe this place to you, you know, like, that gag of, like, card gamers are like that TM, or card shops are like that TM, where everything smells and everything's bad and everything's... they are the people that give people that impression that card
gamers have a bad rap for being schleppy, messy, and not really caring about how they smell. And
that's
unfortunately,
how this fucking place was. It smelled like bad Thai food.
Card game. It smelled like bad Thai food. There were just stacks of like singles that were knocked over, but like not. I think they were Yu-Gi-Oh!
You could still dig through them if you wanted.
They were technically dig bins, which was what we were looking for, but like they were dig bins in like a weird disorganized mess because like it wasn't organized in any way and it was just stacked high. There was like multiple boxes of just garbage, like wrappers and like old packed.
Like I found some Bakugan boxes. I found some.
You found some Bakugan boxes?
I found some Warhammer shit from like 2001, just buried.
And like those were buried in boxes of trash that were sitting in front of the display cases for the singles. So you went into this card shop and you couldn't even look at the singles that they had on display because they had a bunch of garbage in front of the cases.
It was such a... it was so weird. That place was only made... That place was made worse because the next place you and I went to was that really lovely, like, loft-turned comic book shop that had, like, the cool aisles of, like, hey, here's, like, a bunch of old collector's editions of video games and, like, a beautiful wall selection of, like, the collectible Magic cards and shit like that.
Yes. It just was, like, Super Space Cat in San Jose rules. Yes. If you're in the area, you should go.
Yes, very much. I was very much tempted to buy some collector's edition it was Hellboy and Collector's Edition, I think it was Green Lantern I was looking at. Fuck, that place is really nice. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. All right, what's your other Digimon fixation? Hit me.
I got one of them little Digivice bracelets.
What is that?
So, the Digimon company has released functionally Fitbits, but with little monsters inside it. And if you do a lot of squats and sprints and sit-ups in the day, after like 6 hours, it will turn into a cooler, different monster. I actually got it because like I'd been eyeballing it for a while because I thought they were a cute little gimmick. And once I got it, my partner went to Japan and came back with it for me. And it was a very, very sweet gift because they knew I'd been eyeballing them. And like, it's just like a really good tool to do physical therapy because like on days now where I'm like, I don't really want to like do all my physical therapy, the little Gamamon on my watch will be like, hey man, if you do some physical therapy and do some sprints, I can win fights better. And I won't do physical therapy to take care of my body that I have to take over for the rest of my life and will take me to my grave. But this little watch with a little dude inside of it that could go at any minute, let's just say I spill water all over me or drink a soda energy drink wrong, and it makes the whole bracelet all sticky and ruins it forever, I would do anything in my life for those little dudes that living inside that bracelet.
Broken glass for that boy.
So he'll tell me to do squats and take care of my knee, and I'll do it regularly. And I gotta say, my knee is in such better shape these days.
Yeah, that was the thing that blew my mind of, like, I remember your partner came back from Japan and gifted that to you, and you were showing me about this, and, like, me having flashbacks, like, not flashbacks, but, like, I remember, like, the time prior I came to visit you, I was helping you with your physical therapy, and I'm like, man, this is kind of boring. This sounds like a pain in the ass to do. And then going from that to you being like, I can't wait to get my fucking Digimon to the next level and the next ability. I want him to kick ass. And then just like at the same time, your leg is just like gaining muscle and like dexterity and ability all again. It's like, it's cool. It's the power of video games, man. The gamification of healing.
So why don't you talk to me about your Warhammer experiences lately? How's Love, Death, and Dice doing?
Love, Death, and Dice has taken off in a way that is completely unexpected. And I'm incredibly grateful for it. I've recently made the commitment to being like a Love, Death, and Dice episode has to come out every 2 weeks. And that's been like a challenge in itself of figuring out, okay, what are projects I can take on that not only engage me, but can be done in like done within 2 weeks, right? So rather than trying to like fake this thing of like, oh yeah, I know exactly what I'm doing and I'm painting and, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm glazing and doing all these crazy painting steps, I've just been very honest and vocal with my audience that I have no fucking clue what I'm doing.
It's painting. Such a nice tone for your videos.
Weird. That's so wild to me. I'm so incredibly grateful that people have resonated with that.
It's because it sells a level of like experimentation and joy that like I can only really compare to Mythbusters. Like you very clearly are like, here's what I'm trying to do. I don't know if it's going to work, but here's why I think it will. Yeah. So like a good example is like, I think it was like your second or third video. You were like, all right, team, I want it to have this vibe where like the paint looks a little bit faded. And so you added like paint thinner or something. And then the next video you're like, so I put on way too much paint thinner and now it's gone and I've undone all of my work. So I have to look for a different way to do it now.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I had to do, I was using like streaking grime, and to remove streaking grime, you need to use like a very aggressive, paint white spirits or whatever, and then there's always the chance that you could just rub off your paint when trying to remove it, and I fucked everything up. But it's been like, it's really been kind of like my other, outside of spiritual successor, it's been like my anchor of like, I know I every week I have something I need to do, something I need to achieve, because I want to get better at it. And I know there are people that are just like sending, you know, people waiting for it. Like something that's really warmed my heart and like I've experienced it with spiritual successor, luckily too, is just like I have been getting like a nice free, you know, influx of people who are like, hey, the show has done X, Y, and Z for me. And it's really moved me and like things like that. So that's really fueled me to like a much more happy place in my creative life. And it's just cool. It's just like I'm just in a really bitchin' hobby. And I think this is the year that it finally takes off. And like, God, I really hope, and maybe some people are already listening, I'm really hoping a lot of the Love, Death, and Dice audience comes and hangs out with Spiritual Successor, because like I want to hear their wild fucking video game ideas, and just have them in the Discord and hanging out and just being weird and wild in the Warhammer chat. No, it's been really exciting. It has definitely been a year of trying to get better at my craft and trying to just figure out what Love, Death, and Dice is. That's really it. I spent way too much money on plastic, but you know, that's beside the point.
That's fine. I've been spending way too much money on cardboard. We both have our vices.
Cardboard? What are you spending money on cardboard?
The cards, the Digimon cards I was just ranting about.
Oh, they, I guess those technically are cardboard, aren't they?
They are.
Paper. Yeah. Oh, also, another little fun little thing that I've gotten into. I got into paint, like oil painting, like traditional like landscape painting. I'm kind of in my hippy dippy phase where I'm driving my car out to some to hiking spots and just painting landscapes and shit like that, which has been super good for the mental health. I will tell you, go outside.
It's so nice to go on a hike. Hey, team, the dudes on the internet aren't joking. Go touch grass. That shit rules.
That shit rules. Yeah, dude, I went to, last May, I went to Maine, and that was just like a life-changing experience of, I've only ever lived in Los Angeles, and one of the things I've always been kind of jealous of, my friends, AJ included, is just like the amount of variety of places they've lived. That's just like such a cool concept to me, of like living in different cities, living in different like biomes and shit, like places with actual seasons and things.
It's all fun and games till you start missing out on like really dumb, stupid stuff that you took for granted. Like I sit around in California now and I'm like, damn, I wish I could just go camping. Because in Oregon, it's no big deal. It's like, it's
drive 30 it's minutes and there you go.
Yeah, it's 4 p.m. on a Friday. I don't have any plans this weekend. I'm going into the woods. Here, I want to do camping. I have to like hunker up with my friends with four different computers, and we got to be scoping out the sites on the web, like the websites to try to register for a camp spot. We're all trying to make reservations.
Dude,
like,
that is the wildest thing.
We're trying
thing
to win like, a reward. Yeah. Like we're trying to win tickets to a music concert on the phone. It's
you can't just
crazy.
No, San Francisco is wild because you are so much closer to like all of the beautiful spots in California.
And they're all booked up.
Yeah, they're all booked up. It's like such a pain in the ass. Luckily, I was able to, a lot of the stuff I did in Maine, there's no registration. You could just walk up and do most things. Even like Acadia National Park, I think there's only like one thing you need to have reservations for, and if that's you want to hike all the way to the highest summit, and I think that's more of like a safety thing. They just want to make sure you can survive climbing up there. But no, I spent like a whole week just driving up the coast of Maine. I went to Bangor, which was the city that inspired my favorite book ever, Stephen King's It. I went to the cemetery that was in Pet Cemetery. I went to the storm drain that was in It. I went to Bar Harbor and just like got really cool, really good like little clay mason cups. It just was lovely. Actually, no, there's one thing I want to share that is like the most lovely experience I've ever had.
Yes,
I've probably ever had as a person. Yeah, fuck it. I guess this is the update episode, huh? We should do at least one.
Episode.
We should each have two video games we do quick pitches for, because I think I think we owe it to them. So after this, let's jump into that. My favorite experience I think I've ever had as a human being is I took a ferry, like a boat, to a island off of the coast of Maine called Peaks Island. And the beautiful thing about this is that this island has a whole community living on it. Of like, there's like one little mom and pop convenience store. There's one baseball field. There's like no schools because you have to take the ferry to get to school. And the most brilliant thing was after I got off of the boat, I walk into the immediate little coffee shop that's right off of the pier. And I look up after I walk in through the door and the whole ceiling is lined with coffee mugs. And I'm like, huh, how cool is that? So this is how they stock like the mugs for this little coffee shop. And they'll grab one for you and they'll pour it up. And then like I asked them about it. No, each of those mugs belongs to one person on the island. So the idea is that the local person would walk into the coffee shop, grab their mug off of the ceiling, hand it to the lady working the counter and like, hey, can I have X, Y, or can I have some coffee, please? So it just was like this beautiful sense of like little stories and little slices of community that I have just never experienced living in LA. And it was exactly the like the thing I wanted to see while I was out there.
That's absolutely so
beautiful.
Cute.
Beautiful. Hey, moving. It was wonderful.
Do you think that they have to earn their cup? Or it's like, could anyone show up and be like, I swear I'm going to come back. Here's my cup. And like, they've never been there for the last like 20 years. And the owner's like, I guess there's a cup there now.
That's the cup.
Or is it one of those things where like the owner's like, hey, Blake, you've been coming in here once a week for the last 2 years. I think you finally earned it. I bequeath you this cup.
No.
And then you get whatever cup is chosen for you. And if it turns out to be the little Hercules cup from 1996, so be it. You get the little Hercules blue cup.
I like to think there's something more nefarious that you have to do, because this the reason this island exists is there's a gigantic military base built into the built into the underground of the island, and I got to go walk around it pitch black. It is very scary. I would I very much got scared by myself. It was very quiet. So I like to think like there's some like sort of a hot fuzz ritual where everybody, you've been living on the island, you become part of the community. Now you need to go do some challenge in the dark of this military base, and bam, on the other side of it, that's where your Hercules cup is. You have to survive the base.
The cup is still chosen for you, but you have to go through a ritual.
Yes, a cult-like ritual to earn this little coffee cup. Each one, oh man, one might look at the ceiling and think, wow, each one of those represents a wonderful soul on this island. No, each mug represents a survivor of the challenges given by the island owners. I don't know. Honestly, I didn't ask. I was just like so blown away that like we're talking about me, a guy who's only ever lived in the valley where everybody has somewhere to be and there isn't like a sense of community because everybody's
yeah
on their
the closest
way to
you're gonna get is the seasonal Christmas Starbucks
exactly
cups.
But like just to see like here's this tradition that has I'm assuming gone on for decades, if it's like I don't think that's just something that happens with a coffee shop that's been open for a year or whatever. Like that's like probably somebody's family tradition. That who knows? Maybe that tradition's older than myself. It was just wonderful to walk into a space that felt so lived in. And it was just exactly the way it wanted to be. It wasn't trying to sell itself or be something different. It was just, it was there for the community that made it, and really lovely. It's just really, a really spectacular moment in my life. Did a lot of thinking post that. It definitely changed me. Changed how I think about things.
When are you gonna go back and try to get your own cup?
See, you're tempting me here. Is like I actually would love to. I don't know if I would want to live in Maine the rest of my life. But I have definitely been trying to tinker away at like, how can I live in Maine for a year? How can I get away with that? How can I support myself?
Forget about moving out there. I'm talking about a reverse heist. You get out there and you leave your cup there, and then you go and just like see if it stays. I don't know. Put a little iPhone My Tracker in your cup.
Oh, see if
and make
if it's
sure that it's
jostled
there
at all.
Forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, that actually would be really good. I can get one of those. No. Here's the thing. I put one of those, what are those plastic labels?
Air tags. That's the word I was looking for.
No. I'm thinking like the even thinner ones, the ones that are like basically a sticker that you put on on the inside of like a tablet or something like that.
Oh, yeah. The ones that are like, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. An MC, an RC. No, it's not.
It's an RC chip.
RC chip. Yes. All right, AJ, my dearest friend, my best friend, my code.
I think
game
it's an
designer.
IF chip. It's an infrared chip, I think, actually.
Is it?
Wait, no, that wouldn't work because then it's encased in something.
Yeah, but that's how you see it is because of infrared.
What? Okay. I see what you mean.
All right, AJ. We should both do a couple of video games. Just kind of working it, you know, a little practice, a little practice.
Just one each, just to shake the dust off.
I've been talking a lot. I would love for you to give the first game submission.
Yeah. This first submission is actually going to be coming from a new place than usual.
What? New?
Yeah.
For spiritual successor
a new
change?
Thing for spiritual successor with a big change this year in 2024 only, maybe. I don't know where I was going.
Big change, but it might not be permanent.
Big change, possibly. Hey, Blake, I don't know if you noticed this, but something happened while we weren't on guard. Like, this wouldn't have happened under our vigilant eye.
What? What changed?
Everything got worse everywhere.
Are you saying every social media is a fucking cesspit?
And I'm not saying that's explicitly because of us, but because
we
weren't
there. No, it is exclusively because of us. You and I, we well-known to the suckers.
We weren't there. We couldn't stop them. We're here. The little-known thing, everyone's always listening to us to just make sure that they shouldn't do what we say they should do on this show. We're like reverse... What's it called when you hire an idea guy and the consultant? Thank you. We're like reverse consultants on this show.
Are you saying people just like take our advice even though it's bad?
People take our advice and then don't do anything with it. But we weren't here this last year, and so they came up with their own bad ideas to do without us telling them not to do them. And so every social media app is worse.
Yeah.
Specifically the ones that we used most primarily and were most confident about.
I don't know what you're talking about. Reddit has always been this bad. It's not changed. It's still...
You're right.
Out of anything, Reddit has been the consistent in this whole storm of Twitter being turned into X, into Instagram threads trying to be a thing, but now all they do is... All of the threads that are recommended are just problematic content and takes.
Now it's all the bad things for that. All the bad reasons we left Instagram and Facebook are just on Facebook, Twitter. Yeah, and like, you know what? There's so much truth in, you're right. Reddit has always been exactly this bad. I just haven't known about it for the last 5 years because I used the Apollo app like every other God-fearing American. But now the APIs aren't allowed, now I have to use Reddit.com.
Now you have to be among the shit.
It was this bad for y'all? Third-party app saved this website. It's so bad to use now.
Reddit's like one of those things of like, if you've been there, I would actually argue Reddit is kind of better now because it's not as weird.
Oh, really? Because now that I don't have the third-party app, anytime there's an image anywhere, it takes me to a different goddamn website. Now if there's a video anywhere on Reddit, it takes me to a different goddamn website.
And
now
every,
if there's a GIF
the ads
anywhere on Reddit, it takes me to a different goddamn website. There is no in-player links.
I'm just saying, like, culturally, it's a little bit better, I guess.
Every time you go to the front page of... any subreddit, the first thing you see is an ad. There's no way it's been this bad forever. Again, I wouldn't know. I'm one of the people that was affected when Reddit shut down, or when Reddit shut down the APIs.
Okay.
Have you really been raw dogging Reddit for the last decade, Blake Rea?
I had to. I wasn't on Reddit until this podcast started, and we were like, oh man, we gotta be part of the Reddit community to make some posts and such. And then after that started, I was like, oh, maybe I'll check out the Warhammer Reddit. Oh, maybe I'll check out the Pigeon Reddit. Oh, maybe
Third of the subreddits I was in didn't come back. Like, no joke.
they got Thanos. Like, what happened to them?
Yeah.
They just left?
When they lost the ability to use third-party moderation tools, they decided that they were not going to be putting in the amount of effort and labor it takes to moderate those spaces without tools to help that out.
Yeah, because that makes sense.
Reddit sucks to use the base website.
Well, all I'm just saying, we are no longer at the walrus hamburgers at midnight level of Reddit.
I guess we're not at Walrus Hamburgers at Midnight.
You know about this, right? You've heard of this, right?
No, I don't, but I love the sentence.
It's wild Reddit. I think it's like Black Sheep like level days or time, so mid-aughts. But there was like, I guess, a trend where Redditors would get online at midnight and like say some dumb thing together of like the Walrus screams hamburger at midnight.
Wait,
something
is that
stupid
the
like
origin
that
of mods asleep post burger or whatever? Like anyone
it,
says,
I would not doubt it. I very much think that's probably the origin. I mean, most things come from like either Reddit or what's the other dumb one? 4chan. So many things originate there. All right, AJ.
Fascinating.
So yeah? Give me, we're taking submissions on Discord right now. So
that was where we were supposed to go. Because everything's bad and worse everywhere, we actually decided to open up and let our Discord community offer up some video game submissions this time. And mm-hmm. So this submission comes from our Discord user, Void Spooler. A game where you're running an ocean dentistry and have to serve clients on all levels of the food chain, from krill to whales and all the weird deep sea creatures that turn to goop when taken to the surface.
Mm-hmm. Blake, okay.
Let's talk about dentistry.
Yes.
And more importantly, what do you do when you're at a dentist and they don't have teeth? You shivered as if like the idea of a fish without teeth haunts you. What fish are you looking at that you're like, this fish has all 32 of its pearly whites?
No, the way you phrased it, I was like, it made me think of like my dentist walks in and they flash me a smile and my dentist doesn't have teeth. I would be concerned. I would be fucking distraught.
Honestly, I would not be distraught. The dentist coming in and having no teeth, they weren't good enough to take care of their own teeth.
Then they should be taking care of your teeth.
No, idiot. That means they don't have a dentist good enough to take care of their teeth. It's a who watches the watchman. If I walk in, this is just like when you go get a haircut. Your goal when you go to get a haircut is you need to find out. This is not real advice. You need to go in and you need to find out which hair salon cutter has the worst hair in there and then have them cut your hair.
Are you implying that your teeth only ever get cleaned when you go to the dentist?
Why would I need to clean them any other time? They're being used. They're just going to get dirty again in 8 hours when I eat.
You think my teeth are coated in a protective Baja Blast sheen. They're protected against the elements.
It's not even that, dude. Here's what it is that I'm really going to give it to this bit. I don't brush my teeth ever because I don't believe that it's worth keeping them around. Think about it. My great grandma, no teeth, had replacements. My grandma, no teeth, had replacements. My papa, he actually does have his teeth, and he has to brush them so goddamn often. So here's my strat.
Tactical strat.
Step one, continue to let my teeth go bad and worse. Step two, land a job with excellent dental. Step three, have all my teeth replaced with dentures. Because, like, I have to believe that that's what everyone that's old has. Because why else would cartoons have made them so apparent if everyone doesn't have
them? Because all the cartoons that made that were done by generations of people who grew up with parents that didn't have proper dental care.
Like, so the dentist techs are dentist technology is even better, and new dentures probably don't even need to be put in the cup next to you.
All right. Here's the game pitch. Here's what I'm thinking. So obviously, most fish do not have teeth. There are some, but you see a financial opportunity here. You're like, damn, all these fish, they need teeth. Like nobody's making them for them. So the game is you are presented a fish and you need to build a custom set of dentures for the fish in front of you.
You're making
dentures for fish. So it's not like, you know, taking care of teeth or doing things like that. I think there's a lot of games like that. I want to do a thing of like, we are upgrading fish. We are making fish even better. So let's come up with some game mechanics. Is there like an actual sort of like, you need to chisel their dentures like out of clay? You need to like, maybe do you need to like take measurements of their teeth? And that'll dictate? Or is this just like a full physics-based game where
this is a video game of finesse. So here's how it works. A fish comes in and it says, I need a new grill. And you're like, well, this is a koi fish, so it's going to be pretty
small. Holy shit, AJ, that's what the game's called, Fish Grill.
Fish Grill?
Yeah, because you're giving grills.
Can I offer you grilled fish?
Grilled fish? Sure.
So a fish comes in and it needs a new grill, and it's like, I'm a koi fish, so I'm pretty small. And you're like, okay, cool. I am going to need to just collect some rocks from the bottom of a fish tank. And so it's a finesse and like puzzle game kind of, where you are going to have like a bunch of little like rocks that are like the rocks at the bottom of a koi or at the bottom of a koi pond or a fish tank.
And you need to stack them in that small area.
Scoop in. and grab the ones that are going to fit together. Out of all of these procedurally generated rocks, you need to find rocks that will hold together. Yeah. That way you can build a denture that's not too big for the fish, but also not too small for the fish.
But here's and the then here's you give the game, it to the fish. Here's the game element that of like that should not be made is that these rocks, there are as many of these playable rocks as
so
there are.
So many.
Yes.
Playable
as there are
rocks?
Playable rocks.
Manipulatable,
placeable rocks, whatever. So you actually have to physically dig through and find like a grill, make a grill with like the randomized rock elements. Okay, so it's literally
And before everyone's like, well, what are the controls like? You know those like shadow puzzles you get in Resident Evil games? Not really just the shadow puzzles, but all of those like 3D puzzles that you get in Resident Evil where you have to like move the item around like in a 3D space, flipping it upside down and around and tipping it over and turning it. I want something like that, but for every single rock.
I think I have something a little bit different for you on this one.
Okay.
I think the rocks, I think the mechanics should be affected by like, how do I say this? You, the game, the, how you place it like it's Tetris. So you have to drop it from the top of the fish's mouth to the bottom part of it where, but where the fucked up part of it or the challenge of it is, what if there's like a heavy stream going on? What if there are fish swimming in the way of the mouth? There are things that affect the movement of the rock you are dropping. So after you do the pain in the ass thing of finding this rock, which could take however long, you're like, all right, I really need to nail this drop. It's like that coin machine you play at like Dave and Buster's where it's like, oh, I really need to time this just right because the stream is going at like, or the current is going at like 2 miles an hour and I know it's going to flip the rock 90 degrees by the time it gets to the bottom. So I need to plan for that. Where is the ideal dropping spot after it's been affected by current, after it's been affected by other fish flying through this thing's mouth? Because like,
yeah, because you know that once you drop a rock through the fish tank, there's going to be a plecosomus that swims up and tries to suck up all the good sticky stuff off of it. And that's something you need to be mindful of because the sticky stuff is how the rocks stay together.
Oh, or what if like the rock, you each rock has like a hairline crack in it and then you'll see like, oh, I need this rock to break in the middle of the drop somehow because like a fish ran into it and that chipped part will fall into the proper place.
So it's like a puzzle pachinko like dropper for the installation. What are we imagining the gameplay is for selecting the rocks then? If you don't like the idea of like having to use the Resident Evil 3D modeler to like rotate and pick a rock
Maybe that's the upgrade path of this game. So like the game starts with you just look at hundreds of these rocks and you're like, you beat the first level, you earn some fish money, some coral, if you will. And then you can buy upgrades that allow you to better select rocks. So it's like the first upgrade you get is like, you get a scanner where you can be like, hey, give me something that has four sides on it. I need something that has three sides, two sides, four sides, something. And then it'll like scan that the rocks in front of you and it'll only
and
show you
highlight the ones that you want. Yes, that's very good.
Or like give me, maybe you upgrade the scanner to be like, show me rocks that... here's another mechanic is like for rocks to break when they're falling into place, they might need to be hit more than once. So
show me the sticky rocks that I can drop to distract a plecosomus. Show me the rocks that will break.
Yes.
Show me the rocks that won't break no matter what.
Yes. Or how many breaks does the rock need before it finally cracks open? So it's like you look at a rock, it's like, oh, this rock is a perfect match, but it needs to be hit three times in the fall before it can fall into place. Something like that. Oh, and
this is so good. So the Ocean Dentistry game, I think that is a very excellent pachinko style Tetris game where you're dropping things and the goal is to get them all in a row so that your fish has a solid grill. You don't want them to stack up because if it stacks up right on top of the other tooth, that's bad. That's a no-go. You can't chew with that. The only thing worse than a fish with no teeth is a fish with a snaggle tooth.
I don't know. I think that would make them kind of cuter. If the internet's taught me anything,
what do we do with the fish
literature
that have teeth, or are they not involved? Maybe those are like,
you got to break those teeth, bro. Get them out of the fucking way.
Well, my thought was that what if the visual language of this game, kind of the narrative backbone, is that those fish that have teeth, everybody loves those fish. Name a fish that has teeth that people don't like. Everybody eels, loves the angler. Everybody loves eels.
Barracudas, well, maybe they have not teeth.
Babies. Barracudas are cool. They have a whole song about them. It goes, ooh. No one really talks about that. The ooh that she's doing, that's an ooh of amazement. Like she's at an aquarium. Yeah. And they're like, ooh.
Yeah, her barracuda. Bandmate was like, write that down. It's good. All right. I want to give you another game
Eels are in Mario 64.
Are eels in Mario 64? Oh, yeah, there was. Like, yeah. The water levels where they would, like, yeah, I fucking hated those things.
Everybody loves fish with teeth.
I mean, that's a good
tagline
for a game.
When's the last time you saw a video game put a fucking beta in there? Or a Plecosimus? Yeah. I bet you there's somebody out there listening to the show that when I said Plecosimus, they're like, that fish has so little teeth, I have no idea what it looks like.
Plecosimus.
You don't even know what it is,
no,
do
I
you?
No, I don't. No,
exactly.
I don't. Honestly,
it's a stupid, toothless fish.
I'm just a small little aside, but I remember as like a youth, I went and visited Oahu, one of the islands in Hawaii. And we were on a boat and they were doing like they grilled up a bunch of burgers, but they had like a bunch left over. And they were like, I remember the captain leaning over to me. He's like, hey, you want to see something cool? And he throws like a hamburger into the water and literally thousands of fish just swim up to it and start ravaging it. Just like,
hell yeah.
Just like tearing it apart with their little teeth. And I'm like, and I remember being, thank God I'm not a hamburger and in that water. AJ, I want to give you another video game idea.
Hit me.
This one comes to us from our Reddit page, of all places. This one comes to us from Blackbeard, a full-blown AAA remake of Michael Jackson's Moonwalker in the style of Yakuza. I don't know if you've been keeping... Have you never heard of Michael Jackson's Moonwalker?
No.
The movie where he's like a spaceman and did the whole moonwalk? Good. I'm happy neither of us know about this. I've never seen the movie. So
is it a movie or a video game? Because I looked up Moonwalker game. That's a video game, but I did put the word game in it.
Wait, but I was under the impression that Moonwalker was the movie that they would play at Disneyland. It was like the stage performance of Michael Jackson's Moonwalker. It was like a whole like sci-fi thing, and it would play right across the way from Space Mountain.
Oh my God. Yeah, there is a movie that you can watch on YouTube, apparently, full movie 4K. It's probably not. Hey, they didn't have 4K back then. So it's probably, hey, I'm going to go on a little hunch and say, maybe not 4K. They didn't have that back then. It's fine.
I
guess you can fucking lie on the internet.
Yeah, welcome to the internet, bro. Welcome to YouTube.
They also made a game adaptation because it was the 90s and you got to make video games of everything. Yeah, Sega made it. Michael Jackson's Moonwalker full game.
What was I think I remember the Game Grumps playing this like years ago. It was like some sort of side scroller, and he would pose and he would like throw stars at people or like
that
throw
rules.
Light at people or just something like that. But this just got me thinking that, and like I watched the Super Bowl yesterday. We're recording on a Monday. And I watched the Super Bowl yesterday, and I know so little about Usher, but he did a bunch of Michael Jackson dances. And I was like, fuck, this is amazing. Like, his dances are so good. And that got me thinking of Michael Jackson, and that got me thinking of, like, how fucking cool would it be to see, what's the main guy from Yakuza?
Kiryu?
Kiryu.
Or Ichiban now, because there's a new main character in Yakuza.
Who do you prefer?
It's so difficult. It's like trying to pick between you and me, you know what I mean? They're just so distinctly different characters.
Okay.
I like that Ichiban is based so much around having friends. I do like Kiryu as a single indomitable force.
There we go. So what if we did a Yakuza game where one of those characters needs to go on a mission in America with like the thriller gangster, not the thriller character, but Who's, oh, fuck, what was the...
Hey,
the,
Blake?
Yeah, what's up? What's up?
Look up Yakuza 7 Infinite Wealth for
me. Hey, buddy, I've never played Yakuza. I don't know.
There's a Yakuza game they just released, like, last month that already is What If Ichiban Goes to America?
Damn it.
They're in Hawaii, and the bad guy that is... rules. The bad guy is Danny Trejo.
Hell yeah! Dude, I love that Danny Trejo has been getting all this attention. He's such a wonderful actor.
But he's the bad guy in the new Yakuza game.
That fucking rules, actually. Now I need to play that. Excellent. Okay, all right. Well, okay. Let's think. Yakuza hasn't gone to space yet. And I think, what if we did Yakuza, but they are on the space station?
Okay, so Usher goes to space, dressed as Michael Jackson... And we have a very small space station that you get to walk around in and stop crimes?
There you go. Yes, you are stopping crimes on the space station.
What? Okay, this is phenomenal because I think part of what makes the Yakuza stories work is the idea that there's a rogues gallery of just a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
On a space station, there isn't. So is this... Okay, hear me out. This is a video game that is just the Majima Everywhere system expanded.
I don't know what that means. Again, so the Majima Everywhere system.
Yeah, you stupid dingleberry. You came into the wrong game submission. So the Majima Everywhere system was this idea that, like, Yakuza is a beat-em-up that has a bunch of, like, events and fights that you get shoved into. Mm-hmm. But at some point, I think for one of the remakes... they introduced a system called Majima Everywhere. And Majima is an NPC that will walk around, but if he sees you, he's going to instigate a fight. But Majima is a boss-level enemy, and he's going to kick your ass every single time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are able to get a win off him, you get a bunch of experience, you get some points towards the fighting styles that he's trying to teach you, and you get to, like, have a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes away. But, like, this, so what it kind of introduces is, like, as you're walking around in this RPG and you're just doing your quest lines and running around the city, every now and again you'll hear Majima perk up over the audio and you're like, oh, fuck, he's going to come around and he's going to jump me and he's going to beat me up super bad and he's going to take all of my money. But if we're on a space station, there is no other people. There is no other thing that you can be doing.
It's so just what we've you presented by here, yourself.
This is just Alien, but what if every time the alien found you, you got launched into a beat-em-up game?
Hell yes! Oh, dude, I love that. It's like, God, what's that movie that came out forever ago? It was Moon, where it was like the guy on the moon on a moon station by himself, but the idea that... It's just the guy, Yakuza guy, doing dramatic, really cool, like, space station things, like, solving problems, doing survival shit, and then just every now and again, a guy would come up and beat the shit out of you and take your whatever money you've got on you. Excellent. Excellent.
And I want to make it clear, like, you can fight him off. Like, a skilled player could probably just be like, ah, okay, another fight, and, like, just box, fight him out, get the win out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that won't be most players. This fight is going to be incredibly difficult. It will feel like a horror game because, man, I really don't want to get jumped by Michael Jackson on the moon again.
Wait, so you're saying we're not playing Michael Jackson. We're saying Michael Jackson Moonwalker is the villain of this.
Yes, the titular Moonwalker is the bad guy. I want to go with a real Prototype 2 system here.
Can I pitch you on something a little bit different then to add some variety to this? Is Michael Jackson is out there, and what a chilling statement, by the way. Michael Jackson is out there.
He is out there on the moon right now.
What if? Every time Michael Jackson shows up, he shows up as a different character from one of his music videos with different abilities, different cronies that you need to fight.
This is so perfect. Like, this feeds into the Majima Everywhere system excellently.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because Majima would have, like, a bunch of different fighting styles. He would sometimes jump you dressed as a police officer, sometimes jump you with a baseball bat, and sometimes just jump you with his hands. Sometimes he would attack you while breakdancing. Blake, you should really play Yakuza Kiwami 1.
I know, I need
the one. If you played just the one, I would be happy.
How about this? Can we play it on the channel and you can be my shotgun?
That's a lot of game for the channel. We'll talk about it. We'll think about it.
I thought it was like a really short game.
No, no, dude. I've spent 60 hours in Yakuza just doing... No, hey, dog, let me finish the statement because it's going to blow your mind even more. I spent 60 hours in Yakuza just playing the slot car mini game. I spent 40 hours in Yakuza just playing the Cabaret Club Manager mini game.
You're bullshitting.
I spent 20 hours of Yakuza just playing the Rock, Paper, Scissors mini game where you get to see the girls in very fan servicey bug outfits. I spent 10 hours. Yeah, don't worry about it. Or worry about it a lot if you're interested in that sort of bug outfit, scantily clad outfit. Let me just say
really quickly what bugs
we as a culture have evolved, like Beatles mostly, because it's like a parody. It's like a very horny parody of just how kids would collect bugs and make them fight in Japan.
What the fuck?
That's a thing. That's a thing they do. That's. We could go into that another time.
Okay. All right. All right. I think we need to. I think we need to wrap it up. Let's pick a game. Do we want to do our space Yakuza, or do we want to do our dental fish?
I like grilled fish.
I liked grilled fish as well. I feel like we actually have a little bit more legs on that. Do we need to add anything to it? I think we already came up with a name.
I think we're good. This episode's wicked long already. I think we're decent. I think I'm ready to ship this one.
Okay. Hey, let's go to patch notes.
Let's go to patch notes. We have a lot of housekeeping to do this time, actually.
Yeah, we do. First off, I just want to say to everybody that's listening, thank you. Thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for understanding that we needed to take time and... You know, go focus on our lives and just be responsible and give space. I'm very grateful. What were you going to say, AJ?
I would like to say that I hope you're fucking ready.
Yeah,
Blake's very grateful to you, dear listener. I'm expectant of you. We had a whole different year. And you've now understood the growth and the power and increasing pressure that has been building from Blake and I. Mm-hmm. And I just want to make sure that you all, dear listeners, are ready to bring the heat. I hope that you all are here to listen with your ears wide open, make them wider. I hope that you're ready to think about what we've created in your mental images. And I hope that you're ready to smile. Harder than you've ever smiled in your lives.
Aww. That's, you know, you brought it back around. That was pretty wholesome. Pretty fucking wholesome.
This Loved is it. A threat.
Smile or else.
We're just very excited to be back. And yes. I just hope that you all are very happy to have us back. And think about that kindness. Think about how excited you are, dear listener, to have Blake and I back. Think about how excited you are to have your fourth favorite video game podcast and third favorite comedy podcast back. Think about how grateful you are when hear this next thing that we have to come clean about.
Okay. Oh, I see what you're saying. All right. So
we fucked
along
up.
So somewhere along the line, we fucked up. And jokey jokes aside, so one of the things that happened was when we took a break, we mentioned in the podcast that we were going to put the Patreon on pause. A miscommunication happened to where the Patreon wasn't put on pause. So we will own that. We fucked up. If you are a Patreon member and you have been charged over the past year and want to get a refund for that, please reach out to us. Send us an email. Send us a text or a Discord message. We will reimburse you for that. We really... fucked up and we don't know how that happened. So it's like, I guess we weren't getting push notifications or something like that. And we understand that sounds shitty, but we take ownership over it and are willing to reimburse anybody that was supporting us over the last, you know, couple of months and, you know, paying some of the hosting subscriptions we have to do. So, Sorry.
We will make it right by you. Yeah. Please just shoot us a message.
Yes. Other than that, we still have a little bit of homework and a little bit of housekeeping to do with the Discord, all of our social media platforms, just getting all of that jazz in order and getting it a little bit more fluid. Like, one of the long-term goals is we want to figure out, like, okay, how can we get more people in on this and how can we get more people submitting and, you know, a bigger variety of people submitting. So we're coming up with a game plan for that. But expect great things. We're back. We're going to keep making shit, hopefully make you laugh. And thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for bearing with us. And thank you for your warm welcome back to the show.
Yes.
As always, I am one of your hosts, AJ Hart.
And I am your other host, Blake Rea.
The intro and outro of this show is Cheap Shot by Anna Monoguchi, an excellent song from an excellent band for an excellent game. This has been Spiritual Successor. And these are cool games
that should not be made.